Has anybody got a favorite I'd like for us all to sing? I'm not looking for a whole bunch, but if anybody has one, I'll certainly I'll put a crease in the page and get to it in the fullness of the service.
Four in the black book.
Four in the black book. Holy, holy, holy. Yes, indeed. Any takers from the back row? Not this morning. You thinking, Norman?
Yeah.
Then the
Blackman.
Yep. Certainly. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for service this morning. Pray your good hand upon us, Lord, as we take this time around your word to lift up your praises, Lord, to bring our thanks, to wait for, Lord, to wait for you to work in our hearts and minds. Lord, bless this time. Lord, just seal us in from the world and help us to keep our minds upon you. Just work where you do your best work, Lord, that holy heart surgery and brain surgery. It needs no anesthetic and no recovery time. I pray you, Father, too, for those that couldn't be here, for Leonard and, oh Lord, for Ling and Frank. We miss Esther too, and John and Carol, and we miss Pat and Steve. I pray your good hand upon our absent brethren, and not just them, but those that are in the CD ministry. Especially for Pearl and Alan, for Maslam and Georgina, for the folks at the far end of the Maboy Road and this end too. Father, for our countrymen, for our townsmen, for all those that have received a gospel tract or even heard in the dim and distant past, Sunday school lesson or church service where the full counsel of your word was preached. Please use it, Lord, not just in our country, but right the way across the world to work in people's hearts and minds. Please bless and keep Brother Stan and inspire him this morning as he speaks. And Lord, the same for every preacher that opens the King James and preaches the full counsel of it. Please, Lord, I pray. We really do need you. And we know, Lord, that the times they are a-changing, that it's getting darker and darker as the days go on. I pray you, Lord, for the leaders in our country, in America, Russia and China, right the way across the world, Lord, please lean heavily upon them and convict them greatly about doing the right thing. Lord, for by all of that, we're here to just spend time in your presence. Please minister to us. Please comfort us and strengthen us. And we ask all this, Lord, and of course for our private prayer requests and petitions. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All right. Let's take our hymn books this morning. We will at least start there and begin with, I was going to say, somebody picked number 4 in the black book. We're not in that, we're in the big book, but this is actually number 4 in the music machine. It's 424, Come All Ye Faithful. A little bit of Christmas, eh? But might as well get a bit of practice in. We'll be there before you know it. It's only, what, 40 days until Christmas or something crazy like that?
Singing.
All right, we'll get to one of our picks from the wee black book. If you'd like to be taken and turning there. Somebody mentioned number 4 there, I do believe. Well, if you're able, we'll stand and sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Norman, come on up and read for us, brother, if you would.
This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God, and as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for we are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey, the servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart and from form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, whereas ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, into iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness into holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things there whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits into holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. I just want to remind everybody that we're still on the little green prayer list. We appreciate your prayers for all the souls that are mentioned there. Has there been anything else on that lady Gemma?
No. I think it doesn't look too good.
Oh dear. So prayers just. So keep praying for Gemma. I also have marked down here, if this has changed at all, private prayer requests for myself and Monica, for Ling and for Will. Pat and Steve also let me know that they have private prayer requests. They also send their regards. They miss being out, and they appreciate a wee bit of fellowship. If you get an opportunity, drop Steve a line and give him a shout. He is not very mobile at the moment and appreciates the wee bit of news. If you don't have his number, let me know. I'm sure he will not. Like, there's all of five of us here, and I'm sure at least four of us have his number. If anybody here doesn't, give me a shout and I'll give you his number. It would be a help to him. Pat was saying he appreciates the thought and he appreciates the company. So please do drop him a line. Any other prayer requests that we need to make known? Ling seemingly lost track of time, so we missed her this morning, but she'll be out this evening, all being well. Esther's still not keeping 100%. I think technically is it shielding, along with Pat and Steve. Leonard is still doing well down in the Milesium. It's not the Milesium Forum, the Milesium Home or Hout Manor down in Macrofelt. So please do continue to pray for him and the folks that are looking after the residents there. I think that's about that, isn't it? Do continue to pray for our country and the leaders there, and America and the leaders there. There's a lot going on. Just pray the Lord's will be done. we might be the generation that gets to see the rapture from the business end of the rapture. So please do pray about that. Amen. All right. If there's nothing else to add, okay, that's grand. Will, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two.
Father, thank you, Lord, and thank you for keeping us alive and well, and kicking, Lord, to come out to church today, Lord, and thank you for having the religious and civil liberties to come out to your presence today, and not be stuck in our homes and be able to press for our good press for Germany, Lord, as others do in all the countries, Lord. Lord, be able to persecute church right, countries like North Korea and China, Russia and other countries, Lord, that they're persecuted for their love and their faith and Lord Jesus Christ and you, their Heavenly Father, Lord, pray for them also, give them the gift of the Spirit, Lord, and Lord, provide for them, Lord, and bless them and love them, Lord, Lord, provide for them and know they're not alone, Lord. And pray for the leaders of countries of the Western world and the entire world, Lord, give wisdom to Donald Trump, Lord, and also to Boris Johnson, the First Minister of Wales, and also the First Minister of Scotland, also, Lord, help them also, Lord, save their souls, Lord. All the churches are opening the services today, Lord, throughout the world, Lord, in different time zones, Lord. They're having the services, Lord. Use the Spirit to convict those that are lost, Lord, and bring them to the foot of the Lord cross, Lord, and get their souls be saved, Lord, for all eternity, Lord. Mm. But for our missionaries, Lord, if the Kids for Schools release the national open doors, Kids for Schools, Lord, Christian Institute, Lord, with them also, but if the kids that we sponsor and help, Lord, with George, Isaiah, Esther, and Matthias, Lord, help them and all children in the Kids for Schools in Tanzania, Lord, bless them and Lord, bring them to a saving realization of Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, Lord. This day, Lord, if Marcus delivers a sermon today, this morning, Lord, pray for them, and Lord, use it as a way to touch us and to teach us, Lord, but more about thee, Lord, more about how we should live our lives more in tune with thee. And we'll Lord, give us this day, Lord, and we do you have
me
to accept all
my sacrifice? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Will. All right. Let's sing another song. I keep thinking we should be singing Showers of Blessing, but we're not going to sing that this morning. Just seems to be a lot of Showers of Blessings of late. I'll tell you what we will do. We will sing He Only Touched the Hem of His Garment, number 20, in the wee black book. Amen. This was Sandra's favourite. Back in the day, so amen. She only touched the hem of his garment. We'll remain seated. She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side she stole. Amid the that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. Saving power this very hour. good song, an excellent message to it. Let's go back to the big fat books. And we will, as a toss-up between 259s, Jesus saves, and 260, he is able to deliver thee. We have one for 259. 259? That's right. Let's put that through a voting machine and we'll get 260. 259, let's stand and sing Jesus Saves. Put those hymn books away and take your Bibles out, if you would, and turn to John chapter 14 with me this morning. It's good to have you all here. Goodness, all the goings on in the world, the flesh and the devil do a sterling job of cutting God's people down, don't they? I'm glad to have you here. Please do pray for those that aren't. Be mindful of your own walk with the Lord. It is very, very important. And with all the best will and intention in the world, it is not up to me for you to be here. It is up to you for you to be here. That is why everyone is judged for their own lives, not for the lives of others. But I'm glad to see you. We're still up 150% on what it was at the height of the quarantine, when it was only Monica and myself here. So, amen. Hymn number 14. John 14, verse number 15. These are the quoted words of Jesus Christ. And every one is a cast iron promise from him to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, now not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that is our title, the last sentence there in verse number 27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to speak on that subject this morning. And amen. Let's have another word of prayer. Brother Christy, would you lead us if you would, please?
Many blessings that you do bestow upon us. The word is read this morning, Lord, for the song sung, and Lord, for this portion that's on the preacher's heart. Blessed to the preacher, first of all, as he explains it to us, Lord, that you guide him with heavenly wisdom, power, and boldness, Lord. Just words from the Holy Ghost, Lord. Speak through, we pray. Lord, and those words would find a resting place in our hearts and our minds, Lord, to be applied and help, Lord, to each and every one of our lives. Not only us here, Lord, but those that would listening to the service, Lord, at a later time. Please be with them. Meet their needs through it too, Lord, please. Speak to each one in their own need language, we pray. Lord, just strengthen your church. Save lost souls. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is a conservative news reporter. I think it's Sean Hannity. He actually, I think he opens most of his segments with that little portion of scripture. Not very popular, I am sure, with many people in the world, but there you go. This is a very important portion of scripture. It is Christ's promise to whosoever believeth in him that they will have fellowship with God for the rest of their lives, that the Holy Spirit will actually indwell them and seal them until the day that they stand in front of God Almighty at the moment of their repenting of their sins and trusting him as their Savior. This third person of the Godhead that we don't really hear very much of in the Bible, and I think many times we ignore, and many times to our peril as well. But this is the person of God that allows us to fellowship with the Father, to make good, to allow God to make good on all the promises in our lives, if we will let him again, who will give us everything that we need to make it from the day that we are saved until the day that we stand in glory. And Jesus says, do you know what? I have to go. This God incarnated in the flesh that walked and talked with mortal man for over 30 years, Even as a child, as a babe in arms, things were happening that his mother remembered. And as a toddler, we had the shepherds. As a toddler, we had the wise men. As a teen about to become, in the eyes of the Jewish people, about to become a man, he argued and discussed things with the priests in the synagogue. Remember when he was forgotten or missed for a couple of days when he went for his first Passover? And then, of course, as he started his ministry with the turning of the water into the wine at Cana of Galilee. Whenever you accept him as your Savior, whenever you go to God our Father in prayer and accept his Son as your Savior, the Holy Spirit sees you until the day of redemption. And my goodness, has there ever been a time in the whole history of man when we have needed him so much? The disciples were about to lose their Savior. He was only with them for around about 3 years. He did so much. He exercised his power so many times, his power to heal, his power even to destroy. Remember that fig tree that withered away just overnight pretty much when there were no figs on it? He demonstrated his power over the animal kingdom when he called the fish up into nets and onto hooks so many times. His power over the winds and the waves. Jesus demonstrated them many, many times over the devils, the ones that gave people the most bother. He exercised dominion and authority. The only thing he would never force is a soul to their knees in this world and for them to turn away from their sins and to turn to him. He was gone. This man, this Messiah that all of the prophets had spoken about in the Old Testament, that was going to come and lay waste to all of the enemies of Israel, he was gone. And this wasn't what they were expecting. Peter rebuked him and said, far be it from you. And Jesus even said to him, Peter, you savor the things of man, not of God. It has to be this way. So he was preparing them. But like he said, you're not going to be on your own. The Holy Spirit will come and take my place. And let's be honest, we are better off with the Holy Spirit. Because if it was just Jesus and the time that Jesus walked on the face of the earth, the Holy Spirit, I am sure, convicted people and touched them from time to time, but there was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit back then. So the only people that heard the gospel were those that heard Jesus. The only people that were convicted of the gospel were those that felt the weight of his words in their souls. But now, we can pick up a piece of paper, we can read the words of Jesus Christ, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit can sort us right out again, if we let it. And so the Lord was trying to prepare them to be without him in sight, but to be with him forever and ever in their hearts and minds with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I got to thinking, I've had conversations with folks over the past little while with all the things that are going on. Our own country's government is in disarray. The elections in America are causing no end of trouble. There is no small amount of information on the news about elections, about our government, about this virus that's causing so much trouble, about people's reactions to them, about government's reactions to them. There is so much information and so much disinformation, it's actually difficult to figure out for those that don't have their feet on the solid rock what exactly they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And I got to thinking about this and this portion of God's word, and I, as the Lord led and provided, I have put down, I was going to say a few things, there's probably about a dozen or more instances where the Lord is there to help us and to comfort us and to take our fear away. There's one or two that I haven't put down that even now are coming to mind, and it's 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy 1 and verse 6, or verse 7, where the Lord said that he didn't give us the spirit of fear. So fear is not from God. He gave us this power and love and of a sound mind. He also, the word of God says, give us the spirit of adoption so that we can call to him. There's so much going on, but I do believe hand and heart that God has us covered every which way. In John chapter 10, he gives us assurance when people have so much uncertainty, when he says, look, when you trust me, I'll keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man shall pluck you out. He also said, my Father, which is greater than me, will keep you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Once you're saved, no matter what you do, no matter what is done to you, no matter what you say, no matter where you go, no matter the clothes you wear, the activities you take up, once you're genuinely saved, you cannot be unsaved. No matter what the Hollywood movie is that shows people's souls being sucked out by the devil, that is not true. Once you're saved, God keeps that for you. I also want for you to remember in this world of shifting sands that Jesus Christ is always the same. The same Jesus Christ that spoke these words to his disciples speaks them to us today, nearly 2,000 years later. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that also means judgment for those that hate him. I want for you to know that God always hears the prayers of a repentant heart, of a broken heart. In Psalm 34, the word of God tells us the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In other words, if it's for real, God will hear you, Christian. Not lost soul. I think God hears one or two prayers from a lost soul. But whenever it comes to day-to-day life, you need to be saved. He hears the prayers of, Lord, convict me, or show me, or tell me, and then he hears the prayers of, Lord, save me. I want for you to know that the Lord is always listening to you. The Word of God says in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I do believe, as I read more and more of the scriptures, that's not just for eternity. That's for right now too. Lord, save me from my bad decision. I'm going to do it your way from now on. Lord, save me from wicked men. Remember Jehoshaphat? Save me, Lord. As he was surrounded by enemy troops. And then they said, well, we know Ahab doesn't call upon the Lord of Israel. That's definitely not Ahab. And they went looking for him. We mentioned earlier on there that the Lord is always watching his children. And I know sometimes that there is a great desire for vengeance in us. We are made in God's image and God is a God of vengeance. But we are called, even though it's hard and even if we have to do it through gritted teeth, to allow the Lord to take care of the vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He says, dearly beloved, give place to wrath. I will repay, saith the Lord. His eyes are always watching how others treat his children. Remember in Matthew 25 when he was telling the parable of the sheep and the goats, what did he say? He said, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my children, you've done it unto me, and I will repay, saith the Lord. So don't be worrying about getting revenge on people. Don't be worrying about slaking your lusts for your desire for vengeance, or as somebody once said, to get them last. Leave that to God. There's a great little verse of scripture in the Old Testament where it says that the Lord will never see his children naked or begging for bread. His hand is always out to the downcast. And most of the scripture verses we'll be quoting this morning will be from the New Testament, but there are so many. They're repeated just from the Old Testament. Does anyone recall to mind the woman that was caught in adultery in the very act? And they brought the woman, the Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus and said, Moses' law says, trying to set him at odds with the law, she should be put to death. But Moses' law also said the adulterer should be put to death too. So already they have fallen at one hurdle. But the Lord said, after he had dealt with all of those men, he could have struck her down with lightning or the ground opened up or any number of things happened to her. But he said, woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Do you remember the verses of John 3:17 that the Lord didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved? I know too that many of the things that we are asked to do by God, commanded to do by God, if it was just asked of us, we would have no reason to do them. Forgive that person that has just punched you in the mouth. Why? I'm just going to punch him in the mouth myself and just let him know that he's not going to get away with that. Or words to that effect. Doesn't mean you have to go out and just ask to be punched in the mouth all the time, but you know what I'm saying. The impossible becomes possible when you throw your lot in with God. A lot of things are not going to irk you or bother you anymore because you're walking a different path. If you recall to mind the Lord's dealings with the rich young ruler who had done everything right according to the law and still was finding difficulty. And after all was said and done, and the Lord lovingly told the rich young ruler exactly what he needed to do, is don't make money your God, make me your God, and if the money needs to be spent, well, spend it on something useful instead of just hoarding it. And the young rich young ruler went, what? I can't do that. I love my money. It's not sin to have money, as long as you have the money and the money doesn't have you. And the Lord's, remember the, does anyone remember the wee famous quote that the Lord made? He said, it is easier for a rich man to get into heaven than for a camel, or something along. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. There you go. Thanks, Paul. Than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of the hell. It takes work, but it can be done. He said, with man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I was reminded too of the time when Peter walked on the water. I'm sure everybody, when Peter said, Lord, call me to you. And Jesus said, come on. And he hopped out of the boat. And people must have been freaking out, like so many do whenever you choose to live for Jesus. And don't forget, the people in the boat were Christians too. God's followers too. And he made it. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was just fine. Just fine. I know as we go through this life, we're going to make mistakes. And I want for you to know that if it doesn't kill you, there is forgiveness for your mistakes by God. Do you know what? God and Jesus Christ already paid for all of our mistakes, for all of our sins on the cross of Calvary. That doesn't mean we can just go through life willy-nilly doing whatever we want. That is not what Jesus means. That's not what the scripture says. It means there's times we are going to have to adjust our character so that we don't do those things anymore. And it's tough, but God forgives. You remember one of the, was it Peter came to him and said, Lord, How many times is my brother going to sin against me and I should forgive him? Like, is 7 times enough? Does anyone remember what Jesus said? No, he said, try 70 times 7. Keep forgiving him. He's your brother. Now, if the Lord expects that of us, what do you think he will do for us? He will forgive you if you come to him and ask him. He will forgive you. Sometimes as we live our lives, I think that's the first half. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9. We've only another 11 or 12 to go. It'll not take us very long. I think if you use some of the early principles, you'll make it through the rest of the message. Sometimes it just seems a bit much. But the Lord will sustain you. In a similar way that he sustained Elijah in the desert. After he had done everything, after he had beaten the false prophets, and he was running for his life after Jezebel threatened him. And he ran for the desert, and he ran into the desert, and he was done out, and he lay under a juniper tree, and he just says, God, it's too much for me. Just let me die. And you remember God made some cakes for him and a wee glass of water. And he ate them and he slept and he got up and he went on the strength of that 40 days and 40 nights. God will help you keep going. And I said, God will help you keep going. That doesn't mean that you're going to get an extension lead that's going to magically appear in the air and you plug it into the back of your head and you don't have to eat, you don't have to sleep, you don't have to drink anything, that you will magically keep going, that buses will bounce off you, that stones are going to fly back in the direction that they came from. It means when you do things God's way, he has a way of threading that needle that will keep you on the straight and narrow and keep you going. I remember one time as we were painting the outside of the church 20 something years ago, and the pastor was with us and we'd been going all day, and somebody turned up just as we were packing up, and he ended up talking to them for about a half an hour. And he said, you know what, I feel great. After speaking to those folks and telling them about Jesus, I don't feel tired, I don't feel hungry. Do you remember the words of Jesus? I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now let's be honest, all of us here are doing rightly. And if we skipped a meal to speak to someone about Jesus, it's not going to kill us. You know what I mean? You get fired up and you get encouraged when you do it Jesus' way. There's protection as well, because the Lord knows of all the thoughts and of all the people that come at us. The words of Jesus in Matthew 23 are much on my mind. Remember as he stood overlooking Jerusalem, and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I gather you to myself, ye that killest the prophets and stonest them. How often would I gather you to myself like a hen would gather her chickens, and ye would not. You are not going to get protection if you don't run to him. If you don't defer to Christ and his word. When Christ says, don't go there, don't go there. Don't go to the whorehouse, to the drug den, to the drinking den, expecting a magical force field and a throng of angels with flaming fiery swords to keep every alcoholic and every drop of alcohol from you. Run to Christ in all those situations and circumstances. I'm also reminded in Psalm 18, there's quite a few verses like this in the Psalms, where the psalmist said, and this is David, and bear in mind the mess that he made of his life, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Not only, he said, but my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. God is your protection. But how am I supposed to know when I need protection? Well, God said, I'll give you wisdom. In the book of James, I think it's James chapter 1, let me just check that. Yep. James 1 and 5. This is what God said. If there's any man among you that lacks wisdom, let him ask of Google, Yahoo, definitely not Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Let him ask of God who giveth liberally. And he doesn't scold you. He doesn't, no, you're smart enough. I don't want any disciples too smart. God says, as much as you are willing to take, I am willing to give. He upbraideth not. He wants us, what did he say? Cunning as serpents and gentle as doves. If you'll go to God, if you'll go to his word. He has words for the contender. Have you ever come across people trying to beat you in an argument? Stick with the word of God. But how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know what to say? Well, I am. This whole message is being preached in prayer. Because none of the words that I have said to you are actually written down. I have a line, I have a Bible verse, and I am trusting in the Lord to give me the words. And do you know what? Every single time he has, whether I'm sitting with, you'll be sad to know, two full sides of A4, or whether I've just got a verse of scripture in front of me, I stand upon God's promise that whenever you are delivered up, don't you worry what you're going to say, for in that same hour it'll be given to you. And it'll not be you that speaks, it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. When people start to tear down your God and your faith, speak up. Speak up. I tend to find sin is our biggest problem, and the stirring up of it is our biggest problem. Just like the stirring up of the gift that is in us is our biggest solution. You know what God said? Psalm 119, when you're beset with sin, hide God's word in your heart so that you don't sin against him. Nobody likes that. If I was to go around and ask all of us, including myself, when was the last time you sat down to memorize a verse of scripture? I am afraid it's been a week for me. A W-E-A-K. As they say, 7 days without the bread of life makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. We need to hide God's word in our heart so that he can pull it out when we need it. One of the things that really is hurting a lot of people right at this moment in time is not being able to see anybody. I want to tell you something. First few services that I preached to an empty church, I had in my mind that story from many, many years ago about a man that preached in a gold rush town. God put it upon his heart to go and preach in a gold rush town, and he thought, oh right, I'm going to have a church full of, a town full of people that love nothing but drinking and gambling and digging for gold and are half crazy with gold fever. And he went and the town was empty. They'd all moved on to a different scene, and the Lord said, preach the message. And he did, to an empty church. When he's finished, he went home. And he found out, I don't know, weeks, months or years later, that one man forgot some equipment and came back and heard the preacher preach his heart out to an empty church and looked in and had put such a fear of God in him. He went and got saved. Imagine that. Friends, God needs for the word to be preached, and we need to obey him. We need to do what he says. And whenever we do, we will find that there is company there. Even in an empty church, there is company. It was difficult for Monica and me. I'm sure it was difficult for that preacher. It's great to have even the handful of us here today. But there are many people that are sitting at home without anybody to speak to. Nothing to do. And that is actually a big blow, what would you call that? an enemy to a peaceful life than as a mugger would be, as a thief, as a robber, as a murderer. We need to remember that even when we don't have people, we have the Holy Spirit, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we need to cultivate him as our friend. My dad always says, cultivate your friends. Now that doesn't mean that you trim the leaves off them and you stick them in a bucket of dirt and pour water in their feet and pour fertilizer in and spray them for green fly. You know what I mean. Be good to your friends. Speak to your friends. Contribute to your friends. I think that very same verse says that a man that wants friends must show himself friendly. Be the nectar to the bee and to the wasp. What's the old saying? Catch more flies with honey than vinegar. So remember that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and you will find that you have many more friends than you ever thought you had. And in that very thought, a great verse that has stood by me so many times over the years, whenever the Lord was talking to the disciples about the loss that they might incur throughout their life, he says, but hold on. There is not one man, Jack, among you that has given up wives or families or houses or lands or riches. You'll get something that's at least 100 times better right here and now and in the world to come, everlasting life. That's the promise of God. And I have depended upon that as I have handed out nice Bibles to people that I'm sure as shooting and could put my hand in my heart, have no intention of coming to God, of living a good life. But I would not have them say to my Savior, I never got a Bible. And I have never missed out. And I have learned to trust in God. And I have learned to believe he's absolutely right. There's truth. There is not a truth. There is not your truth. And there's not my truth. There is the truth. Not too far away from the verses that we took as our text this morning, verse 6. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I would love to say that whatever is coming out of the corridors of power and all of the lands in the house is great and wonderful and listenable, although sometimes you just couldn't write the stuff. You really couldn't. But it changes every single day. We'll take America just for instance. They have a president right now, President Trump, that's doing great things for the country. More jobs, more money. America's doing grand. Now they're going to bring in another president who is going to spend all of his time tearing that down, saying we need to send our jobs abroad. We need to bring more people in from other countries to do the work. Who's right? I tell you who's right. Jesus is right. The Word of God is right. And if you can honestly do whatever it is you're doing and read the Word of God and your conscience not be pricked, I would say you're pretty much doing the right thing. But if you, as you read the Word of God, you find things in there that are not sitting well with you, in the words of that little song that I love, that blessed old book, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. And whenever I say you, I mean all of us. Okay. Because there are times that I read the Bible whenever I am convicted of my behavior or my thoughts. There's truth, and it's to be found in the King James Version of the Bible, not any other. Or for all the fighting and guiling, and there is a lot, there is peace. Just like just like the Lord on the boat. Remember when he got the storms and he was asleep in the bow of the boat? And the disciples were crying unto him. Do you remember that? And he woke up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. A word from God stilled the storm. That's what it takes. The word of God will still the storm, will point you in the right direction, will comfort you and strengthen you and warm you and feed you and encourage you to go and do the right thing. Does anyone remember the time that the Lord spoke with Elijah, not that far away from where we were looking earlier on, about him having the wee cakes and the cruise of water? Remember when he went out, and I'll just read it here in 1 Kings 19. And he said, God said to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after an earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And that still small voice said, Elijah, what are you doing? No matter what's going on around and about us, look for that still small voice and listen to it. The voice of reason, the voice of calm, the voice of logic, the voice of truth. Did you know you can be right even when the majority of people are wrong? Did you know that the number of people saying something doesn't make it true, even though you would think that? It's in Romans chapter 8, it says, if God be for you, what? Who can be against you? Stick with God. Even when the whole world rejects God, and they did, and they are, and they will, God is still right. It is belief in God and the Christian foundations of this country, of America, of other Christian countries, if they are, that has enabled dissenting voices to come up without being cut down. And they don't realize that. That's very same. You know, Romans chapter 8 has a bunch of great verses. Romans 8 and 28 tells us, if you want to live a life that you know was right, that you did everything right, get saved and live it God's way. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that's saved, and to them that are the called according to his purpose, that's served. So make sure you do it God's way. And when you do, and when you put God first, and when you listen to him, you can have this other little portion of scripture that will help you over every hump and bump that this life has to throw at you. Doesn't mean you'll not come out with maybe a black eye or a bloody nose or the odd thick ear or busted lip or sore behind. But it does mean you'll come through. You know those verses in Isaiah 40? Is it Isaiah 40 and 31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. You can persevere when you throw your lot in with Jesus. Every other person that claims to be a leader, a helper, or a God runs out of juice and fails. Jesus is still on the throne of heaven. He is still an immortal, infinite, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God. And he always will be. And he loves you. He is our refuge and strength in a very present time of trouble. You are, if you have trusted him, his beloved child, to whom he wants to give all good things. So do what he says. And no matter what comes at you, you know, one of the best ways I found to of getting out of spending a ton of money on computer parts was not to follow news in computer parts. You know, the way I have found to be not worried and fearful about the future of our country and the future of my wife's country is not to watch the news about those countries, but to pray for them and to go to God about it and to leave it at His feet. And then I can continue on doing what God wants me to do here and now. I'm going to pretty much finish with those few lines at the end of our reading. John chapter 14, verse 27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse number 1 says, you believe in God, believe in also in me. Thank you. We're stopping there. God bless you. And keep your eyes on Jesus. One song to sing. I think I have it marked in the book. Unless someone has a favorite they would like for us all to sing. That's the one I was going to pick. He is able to deliver that.
That's we'll run that through the machine and get another number as well. Alright. Hymn number 260, He is able to deliver thee. Let's all stand as we sing.
Bible readings, for the prayers, for your presence and for your patience. Pray you have a good afternoon. Look forward to seeing you again at the next appointed time. Please be mindful of our absent brothers and sisters and those that we know that need Jesus as their Savior. Amen. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time around your word. Please, Lord, I pray you work in our hearts and minds and provision us as we go out into the world. I know we want to think about all the good things, Lord, but Lord, please remember that sometimes we need lifted by our ears or a warm behind, but we know, Lord, you will provide all of our needs. Bless us as we go. Look after those that couldn't be out with us this morning and those that are separated by time and distance. Lord, please minister to each and every one of us. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. 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 God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. We are dismissed.
Did you notice he looked at